Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Chef Rory O'Connell, you're very welcome back to the show. Happy Christmas.
Same to you, Brendan, and all your listeners.
So, Rory, we're going to talk about the side dishes for the Christmas dinner today. So everything on the table that's not turkey or ham. How important are the sides? I would say they're more important.
Well, they're definitely as important. I mean, it's good if you have a lovely turkey and ham. But if you don't have the correct sides, the whole thing can be too much of a meat fest, in which case the balance is gone. So they kind of bring balance. And it's an opportunity to introduce other lovely flavours as well. So definitely really important.
Okay, well, we start with carrots and parsnips. And a lot of people now have taken to roasting them, which is, I suppose, a good idea. You've got the oven on anyway.
Yeah, it is a good idea, definitely. But I would suggest with carrots and parsnips, if you can manage to buy them with the earth still on them, by the way, and bring them home, and they keep much better, the flavours immeasurably better than the pre-washed ones. And then you just, they store really well. So scrub them, peel them. Then with the parsnips, I cut them into reasonable size chunks. If don't cut them too small, or the carrots for that matter, because otherwise they get all wizened up in the oven. And then the parsnips, it's a good idea to put them into a saucepan of cold water with a pinch of salt and just bring them up to the boil after you've cut them into the pieces you like, you know.
Okay.
And then the carrots you just peel and chop into the same size pieces. Then you're pretty much ready to go once the parsnips are drained. It could be just salt and pepper, a little bit of olive oil. It could be a bit of duck fat or goose fat if you wanted. And then at the end then, Brendan, once they're roasted, and it's very important when you're roasting them, you know, having seasoned them, to spread them out so they're out flat on a tray. Because if they're piled up on top of each other, they get kind of mushy and you don't get that lovely roasted caramelized effects.
Okay.
Then, you know, when they come out of the oven, you know, you could sprinkle a little bit of spice on them. Curry powder is delicious on both carrots and parsnips. A little apple syrup, something like a little Highbank apple syrup from County Kilkenny, will really elevate them to a different place. They're delicious.
Okay. Sprouts. No, not everybody loves them. Any ideas to jazz them up?
Yeah, well, start off anyway with, you know, peel off the outer leaves, and then really importantly, I think, cut them in half from north to south, so straight down through the middle, across section, and that shortens the cooking time considerably. So irregardless of what way you're going to jazz them up, and we'll talk about that in a second, then a big saucepan of boiling salted water, plenty of water, so the sprouts go into the boiling water if you're boiling them, and no lid on the saucepan. That's absolutely crucial.
Okay.
And that preserves a really lovely green colour. And then, you know, little crispy bits of crispy bacon that you've fried in the pan, little bits of chopped up walnuts, pomegranate seeds, dried cranberries, you know, all sorts of possibilities to jazz them up. You could put a little bit of pomegranate molasses, as it's called, on them, which is lovely, slightly sort of sweet, sour, reduced pomegranate juice that's for sale in all the supermarkets, you know, and then they'll be really marvellous. But the initial cooking of them when you're boiling them is really important. Don't overcook.
Yeah, because you don't
them.
Want that. You get that bitterness if they just go a minute too far, don't you?
Yeah, they get. Yeah, exactly, Brendan. They get like overcooked cabbage, which is not good for man or beast.
Yeah, and listen, you could do all the fancy molasses and everything like that. You could also just like basically drown them in butter and salt, and that's not bad
Brussels
either.
Sprouts,
like,
if they're properly cooked, as you say, with butter, a little pinch of sea salt from around the coast of Ireland, and they're as good a vegetable as any at any time of the year.
Absolutely, love a sprout, but I forget to eat them the rest of the year somehow. Okay, so red cabbage then is a traditional one in some houses. How would you do red cabbage?
So red cabbage, very finely sliced. And then you weigh it and you take an equal quantity, Brendan, of Bramley cooking apples, those lovely sour apples. And you put the cabbage in the bottom of the pot, nice heavy pot. The peeled and cored and apples cut into about 8. They sit on top.
So cabbage to apple is 1-to-1, yes?
Yes, 1-to-1. And that's really important, yeah. And you get a lovely sort of luscious texture at the end. A little bit of sugar, salt, vinegar, pepper, and that's it as far as I'm concerned. Tight fitting lid, low heat, and Brendan, it cooks down to a lovely sort of collapsed sort of stew. Now, you can put all sorts of spices and things into that, but I tend not to, because the apples are full of character and flavor, and they work beautifully with the cabbage, and needless to say, preferably an Irish apple and an Irish cabbage for that matter as well.
Okay, and you've got, so that's sweet but slightly tart is what you're
exactly,
after there,
yeah.
Is
so
it? Yeah,
brilliant with that. You could almost eat that cold like a chutney, to be perfectly honest. And that can be done a couple of days ahead, Brendan, because it reheats perfectly.
Okay, so now we come to the important thing. What I think is, for many people, the centrepiece of the Christmas dinner, Rory, the roast
yes.
potatoes, and it's important to get this right, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to be really boring again, Brendan, again, if you can bear it, to buy potatoes that have got the earth on them. And bring them home, and then whenever you're ready, they'll keep perfectly, you know, for a week, easily longer. But and then scrub them and peel them. And then what I like to do then is put the potatoes into a saucepan of cold water, good pinch of salt, bring them up to the boil, simmer them for about 1 minute, strain them, and then give them a sort of a bash around the saucepan, and then good quality fat, animal or vegetable. Olive oil would be lovely, but if you manage to get a bit of lovely beef dripping or a bit of duck or goose fat, coat them fairly generously in the fat, really hot oven, and cook them, and maybe turn them maybe twice during the cooking, and cook them until they're super crispy, and then they should be crispy and cantankerous around the outside and soft and sort of fondant-like in the middle.
Okay, so this is interesting. Now, the parboil is only lasting a minute, yes?
Yeah, yeah. So you put them into cold water, pinch of salt, up to the boil, simmer them for about 1 minute, because if they get too kind of fluffy around the outside, well, maybe that's the way some people would like them, and that's fine.
Okay.
But if you boil them for too long, Brendan, they sort of collapse a bit, and some of the lovely crispy bits just get stuck to the oven tray at the end.
And come here, is there a particular variety of potato you'd use? Because like increasingly now in the supermarkets, it's Roosterama everywhere, isn't it? And like, that's
yeah,
not
absolutely.
What we grew up with.
I love
with,
a Golden
like.
Wonder. I must say, if you can get a Golden Wonder. But what I would say more important than anything is that it's an Irish potato.
Okay.
Quite frankly. Yeah.
All right. Now, obviously, people like several types of potatoes. We heard Johnny B earlier talking about his mother does three types of stuffing, no less. But I had a friend, his mother did five types of potatoes on Christmas Day. And if there wasn't five, they were very disappointed. So you are suggesting another type of potato could be that people do a potato gratin.
Yeah, exactly. And also, Brendan, this could be made a day at a time. So again, your potatoes, as previously discussed, peeled, and then you cut them, Brendan, about the thickness of a coin or maybe a little bit less, so not paper thin. You butter a gratin dish liberally, a layer of your peeled and sliced potatoes, salt, pepper, a little grating of nutmeg, which is a really lovely Christmas flavor. Then either grated Gruyere cheese, which is my favorite, or a bit of grated Irish cheddar would be lovely as well. Another layer of spuds seasoning, another layer of cheese, spuds seasoning, and then a good splash of cream in on top. And you cook that gently, moderately enough for about an hour. Check with a little knife to make sure the potatoes are completely tender, and it should be beautiful and bubbly and gratinated and a sort of a rust color on top. And that can be eaten there and then, or you could make that a day ahead, not more than a day ahead, I'd say.
Okay.
And then just reheat it nice and gently on Christmas Day. And that would take a lot of the of the work out of the Christmas Day work, which can be extensive, you know.
Yeah. What are your general top tips for the day?
Relax, take it easy, make a list and make a rota. Get somebody on the wash up, try and make it, if possible, a kind of a community event in your kitchen. And don't try to be, you want to please everybody at the table, but it's not Downton Abbey, let's be realistic about what's possible. And do good shopping, the best ingredients, as many of them Irish as possible, as many of them as local as possible. And it's only one day. Relax. Step out into the garden. Take a breath. We're so fortunate in so many ways. And God, between us and all harm. And just to enjoy that particular moment. And if you have beautiful food, which is the aspiration, of course, well, then we're doubly blessed.
And I believe you're also on a mission encouraging people not to buy so much cheese for Christmas.
Well, definitely buy cheese, but don't buy enough cheese so that you could open, you know, a cheese shop after Christmas. But one thing I will say about cheese, Brendan, if you overbuy cheese, some cheeses really freeze quite well. So if it's waving at you out of the fridge on the 27th of December and the guilt is building up, pop it in the freezer and then you can use it later on in January as a cooking cheese. Or some of them come out nearly as good as they came in.
No, is that just hard cheeses, Rory? Can you freeze
soft? No, soft cheeses. Soft cheeses as well. Soft cheese as well. And then if I was defrosting them later on, you know, take them from the freezer, defrost them overnight in the fridge so it's, you know, properly and carefully done. And honestly, at least as a cooking cheese, but many of them just as cheese to eat.
That's a fantastic tip. Okay, did not know that. Okay, Rory O'Connell, thank you very much for all that and happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas to you, Brendan, and to your listeners. And thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Rory. And that's it for today. You can listen back to all the conversations from today's show on the RTE Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.